Who wants some joy? You know, it says the joy of the Lord is our strength. And so, you know, the times that the hardest times in our lives where we might actually on one level be feeling the most sad are the times we most need the joy of the Lord. It's kind of ironic, isn't it? Because it's his joy which gives us strength. So does anyone feel like they particularly need some joy this morning? Yeah. Yeah, always. Should we just pray for each other to have some joy? Yeah? Anyone up for that? So if you want to pray for the person next to you, feel free. Let's just pray for joy. Okay. So just be receiving the joy that God wants to give us. So yesterday we had a really good time at the Ladies Transformation Day. Yay. Matt kindly gave up his free reign of the house in order for us to have it. And you know, it was just like such a special time just to be together with God and to go deeper with each other and deeper with God. And God does a lot of really good stuff in people's hearts. So I just wanted to tell you that. I was really encouraged. Hopefully those were there were encouraged as well. I think they were. But it was a really fantastic time. And, you know, just as we were worshipping, I could just feel God stirring up in my own heart, my passion for him and to see his kingdom come in this village. You know, when I say about seeing his kingdom come, I'm talking about seeing the ways of God being released over this village. So, you know, his love, his kindness, the restoration he brings, you know, the way he turns people's lives around. And, you know, there's just this thing stirring up inside of me that's like, I'm not giving up. You know, I'm going to persevere. You know, no matter what is coming against me, I'm not going to let it get in the way, no matter how I might feel discouraged by little things that happen, as we all have those times, don't we? But I'm not giving up because I know that God has put us here for a reason and he wants to see this village transformed. And there are things that he's called us to do. And I know I say this kind of thing quite a lot when I speak, but just feel it's important just to encourage us. And, you know, I'm encouraging myself that God has got good things for us to do. And, you know, that song that we were singing, that Dave was kind of speaking into that and that prayer. And, you know, the person who wrote that song, obviously it's coming from that deep cry of their heart of what they want to see. And as I was seeing the words of the song, I was just thinking, it's good to pray these things. And I'm not saying it's bad to pray that stuff. So I just wanted to say that before I say it. But actually, the key to all of that stuff happening is for us as the children of God to know who God is and to know who we are as his sons and daughters, of the particular things that he has put within us, how he created us, the gifts that he's given us. If we were able to just walk in the fullness of that and the confidence in who God is, then all of that stuff that that song is praying for would happen. You know, as I've heard like some of the preachers say this, and I understand why people say it. You know, it's kind of like, I'm not against praying for revival at all, but if we want to see revival, we just need to know who we are and start walking in it, and then we'll have a revival. Do you understand what I mean? You know, it's if we would walk in that. And so that's kind of, you know, some of the stuff over these next few months when I'm speaking, I'm going to be talking about the Father heart of God. And so much of that is about us knowing who God is and knowing who we are as his sons and daughters and walking in the fullness of that. We could simplify it down to that core thing, that if we could just get that revelation, then everything will change, not just for us, but for the people around us, in our community, in our places of work, in our families, in our friendship groups, wherever we find ourselves. And so it's just so important, you know, that we just know who God is and we know who we are in relation to that. And so this morning, just want to share some stuff about the Father Heart of God. So I just want to start off with, do you want to just go with me to the, in your Bibles, to the book of John? So John chapter 1, first of all. So when we think, you know, the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, you know, they're all written by different writers to tell us about the time when Jesus was on the earth. And there's amazing stories there where we get to really understand who Jesus was and what he did. And, you know, that helps us to understand now who he is. And, you know, we could say that one of the fundamental reasons that Jesus came to the earth was to show us who the Heavenly Father was or is. And, you know, what he did on the cross was to restore our relationship to the Heavenly Father. And so it's like each one of us was created, every single human being, whether or not they realize it or not, was created to be in this amazing relationship with their Heavenly Father as a son or daughter. And obviously, you know, sin came into the world and it separated us from God and from that relationship with him. Jesus came to show us who the Father was and through the cross to make a way for our relationship with the Father to be restored. And so often what happens is that we maybe will make that decision to say, yes, I want to follow Jesus. I want him in my life. We say yes to Jesus, but that's just the beginning, isn't it? Then there's the beginning of this journey of discovery of the amazing relationship that is available to us. And, you know, some of the things that I'm going to be looking at in this little series that I'm going to be doing is some of the barriers which can happen in our hearts, which prevents us from experiencing the fullness of that relationship with our Heavenly Father. So some of the ones we're going to look at in the future are things like unforgiveness in our lives and shame in our lives and things like that. You know, sometimes we've had really horrendous experiences in the past that have caused us so much pain, which prevent us from really experiencing the fullness of the Father's love and of that amazing relationship with him that is available to us. And the good news is that it's not the end of the story. You know, God wants to come in his gentle way and to deal with those barriers to help us to be able to experience that full relationship with him. So we're going to be exploring that over these next few months. And, you know, I just want us to start off by reading some scriptures in John. John is a really good gospel for learning more about God as Father, because there's a lot of stuff there about it. And, you know, when we look, when we kind of, you know, there's so much revelation and truth for us in the Bible, and we can't get hold of it all at once. You know, we spend our whole lives discovering more and more things. But, you know, I would encourage you in this season to read through the Gospels and to look specifically of understanding how our Heavenly Father is revealed in the Gospels and understand how Jesus' relationship worked with the Father. And, you know, you'll get a lot of stuff from that as you do it. But let's just start off in John 1. So I'm going to read from verse 6. There came a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify about the light so that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to testify about the light. So this is talking about John the Baptist, who came before Jesus to tell people about Jesus who was coming. There was the true light which coming into the world enlightens every man. He was in the world and the world was made through him and the world did not know him. He came to his own and those were his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So I just want to quickly explain that passage for those of us who haven't heard this before. You know, that's talking about how Jesus came to the world, but people didn't realize that he was God. He went to the Jews, which up until that point, God had chosen the Jews as his special people who he was revealing himself to. And through them, he wanted the whole world to know who he was. And Jesus went to the Jews and they didn't realize that he was God. But then it's talking about, but those who believed that he was God had the right to become children of God. So that's what that passage is talking about. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified about him and cried out, saying, this was he of whom I said, he who comes after me has a higher rank than I, for he existed before me. For of his fullness we have all received, and grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten God who is in the bosom of the Father, he has explained him. Okay, so there's a lot of stuff in that passage, but for the purpose of today, the thing that I want us to all get a grip of is verse 18. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten God, so this is talking about Jesus, who is the Son of God, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has explained him. So in the New Testament for everyone, instead of saying bosom of the Father, it talks about who is intimately close to the Father. He has explained him. So we get this whole idea that Jesus knows the Father intimately. As great as you could possibly know. And Jesus has come to the earth in human form to show us who the Heavenly Father is, to make it accessible to us as human beings as to who the Father is. Does that make sense to everyone? I don't know if anyone would be brave enough to say no, but do feel free. Right, so hopefully that's one point. Right, let's go to John 14. This is just a way of introduction to what I actually want to speak on today. Let's see, John 14, verse 7 to 11. So this passage, you know, in John is basically when Jesus is kind of sharing a lot of stuff with his disciples before he's about to go to the cross. And so he's kind of, it's a lot of his last words or last teachings, you might want to say, things that were important that he wanted them to know about before he went back, went to the cross and then was resurrected and went to heaven. So he's talking with his disciples and he says to them in verse 7, if you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you know him and have seen him. Philip, who's one of the disciples, said to him, Lord, show us the Father and it is enough for us. Jesus said to him, have I been so long with you and yet you have not come to know me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am the Father and the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own initiative, but the Father abiding in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Otherwise, believe because of the works themselves. Okay, so I just want to explain this passage and then we'll get to what I'm going to talk about today. So the disciples, were Jewish men. So they had like a kind of worldview of God. They didn't necessarily have the full understanding that there was Jesus and the Holy Spirit like we would. And so, you know, they're trying to get their heads around the idea that Jesus is the Son of God. And Jesus is trying to convey to them, when he says, I'm in the Father and the Father is in me, it's kind of like poetical language to try and explain to us the intimacy of relationship that Jesus and the Father had, of that deep connection of like being in each other. And so, you know, Jesus is saying to them, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father, because we're so intimate and close with each other and we're so like each other that seeing me is good enough to say you've seen the Father. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Which you might be like, oh my goodness, it's really hard to get my heads around. Obviously the disciples were having trouble with getting their heads around them. And, you know, Jesus is like trying to get this across to them, trying to get them to understand that the Father isn't some distant figure away from their understanding, that their close interconnection with Jesus enables them to connect and know and understand the Heavenly Father. Okay, so that's just a little bit of introduction. We'll explore all this stuff more as we go along. But let's go to Matthew 6. Now, what I wanted to talk about today is one really key attribute of God as Father is as our provider, which is really, really important for us to get a grip of. You know, the vision statement of the journey, does anyone know what it is? Creating an environment that brings freedom and releases destiny. Yay. Who kind of vaguely knew that? Okay, good. So, if we want to create an environment that brings freedom and releases destiny, we need to know who our Heavenly Father is, don't we? Okay, good. You can be a bit American on me if you like. Okay, and so I want us to look at Matthew 6. So first, we'll start off in the Lord's Prayer, and then we're going to go off to the other passage. So, Matthew 6, verse 8. So Jesus' disciples are saying to him, teach us how to pray. And so this is what Jesus says. And this prayer, which so many of us will know this prayer, many of us will have said it at school. Who used to say this prayer at school? A lot of people, not everyone. And this prayer is so key for showing us stuff about the Father and some of his attributes. And then we're going to concentrate on one of them. So Matthew chapter 6, verse 8. So do not be like them. Oh, sorry, I'll go back to 7. And when you are praying, do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do, for they suppose that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. It's good, isn't it? Pray then in this way, our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So we're going to very quickly look at the Lord's Prayer before we go to the next passage, which is all where I'm heading towards. And just look at the things that the attributes that it tells us about what a Father brings and what our Heavenly Father brings to us. So the first thing, our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. So when Jesus is saying our Father, you know, he's including us in it. It is the Heavenly Father is his Father, but he is also our Father. Yeah. And so if Jesus is our Father, that means that we are his. Yeah. So the first thing the Father gives us is identity. Yay. As sons and daughters. And that's a really important thing that a Father brings is identity. And that's what we all need. So that's the first thing. The next thing, your kingdom come, your will be done. The next attribute we can take from this is safety. Fathers bring safety. You know, sometimes, does anyone have you might feel this about your own parents, or it might be certain people in your life that you just know when they're around, you feel safe. Does anyone have that? And you just know there's something about them, who they are, what they bring into that group of people or into that situation that just makes it feel safe. And, you know, that's that aspect of, a father role is bringing in safety. And so when it's talking about in that prayer, your kingdom come, your will be done, it's talking about the essence of who God is. When it brings a rule into place, when the fullness of that comes, that creates safety, because God the Father is a safe person. And so when he is coming into the situation and bringing who he is into that situation, it's creating safety. Okay, the next thing, give us this day our daily bread. Provision. Yay. Fathers bring provision. Very important. And that's what we're going to be concentrating on today. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. You know, that talks about the God of compassion and forgiveness. You know, he's not angry with us forever. He might be unhappy that we just did that thing, but he forgives us. Yeah? That's a really important part of who the Heavenly Father is. He's not this angry person who's looking at all the things we've done wrong and wanting to hit us around the head, which might be sometimes our earthly experience of our parents. But he's a God of compassion and kindness, who, it's not that he's not going to guide us and help us to become better people within it, but he's not holding it against us. He's not angry. He's a God of forgiveness. And the final one is, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. That shows us the protection of God. God as Father is, he brings his protection. And, you know, all those different things are things that we all need. No matter what age we are, we don't grow beyond needing these things in our lives, do we? We all need identity. We need safety, provision. We need kindness, forgiveness, and protection. And when we're not experiencing those things in our lives, it moves us over into fear. Yeah? Because we're moving out of what sometimes we might call our sonship. We're moving out of that, and we're moving into a kind of, as though we were orphans, and which I'm going to be exploring more over these next few months. And so we're moving into that fear, and it makes us feel very anxious. And, you know, all of that stuff. Is this making sense? Okay. And so that's why we want to see our relationship with our Heavenly Father in such a place that we can experience in the fullness of what is really available to us, all of these things in our hearts. Because when we're in that place of complete trust in who God is as our Heavenly Father and the peace that that brings, that will enable us to be who we're created to be, which is going to affect the world around us. And our community, our friends, our family, the people we come into contact with at work, they need that, don't they? And so if we can get hold of this revelation for ourselves, you know, it's not, I'm not saying that we need to all be perfect. You know, we all have wobbles, don't we? That's why we need each other. But if we can just somehow fundamentally get this revelation, believe it's true and choose to believe it, it's going to change things for us. And, you know, I know I've kind of said this already, but I just want to say it again because I just feel like I should. If as I'm saying that, you're thinking, that's okay for you, Vicky. You haven't had as bad life as I've had. And so it's so much harder for me. That might be true. But God is bigger than anyone's situation. No matter what obstacles you have to overcome to be able to get into that place, whatever healings needs to happen in your heart, it's not too big for God. It is not. And so I just want to speak that truth in and just speak that hope in that God can overcome anything that's happened in our lives, no matter how devastating it is, and however long it's been there, and it's just so much a part of us that we just can't imagine it not being there. God can overcome it. I really believe it. Does anyone else believe it? Good. Okay. So in the final 10 minutes of my talk, I should get to the point. right. Go to verse 25. For this reason, so this is Jesus talking to the crowd. For this reason, I say to you, do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? Yay, you're worth more than a sparrow. Yay. Does anyone believe it? You know, I say that, but maybe we don't always believe it. Do you know what I'm saying? The times when we fret and think that everything's going to go wrong, maybe, you know, I just throw that out there for us to think about. I say this to myself. And who of you, by being worried, can add a single hour to his life? And why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all his glory clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you? You of little faith, do not worry then, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. So this revelation of God as our provider is one that, you know, I just really believe the Holy Spirit wants us to grow in. I'm sure that many of us, if not all of us, have got experiences of knowing God as our provider, where we've seen God come through. Has anyone had an experience of that? Wave. Yay. Lots of us have. Okay. But, you know, it's kind of like every time we have an experience of something like that, it helps to reveal something of more of what God, who God is and what he wants to show to us. But it's kind of like we can build upon and build upon. And, you know, I just really feel that there is a greater revelation for God as provider, because God wants to take us from beyond just being able to get by in, you know, our provision that we need for our day-to-day things. In that if we're going to see God do more stuff through our lives, whether it is in, you know, what we see God do in this village or other things that God is asking us all to do, maybe in other places as we go through our lives, that we need to have confidence in who God is as our provider that will propel us into it. Because if we don't have that confidence in that, then we'll all the time be thinking, oh, I can't do that because I haven't got enough money. Does anyone understand what I mean? And so it's kind of like there's something about us nailing this thing for God as provider that is so fundamental that I just feel that the Holy Spirit wants to take us into, because money is so much to do with our hearts and where we're at, and it reveals so much in that. And, you know, I'm not saying this from a place of being completely perfect and having this totally sorted in my own life, because I'm on a journey with it as well, like we all are. But there's something deep that God wants to do in revealing that to us. And so I just want to share with you a few thoughts on this just to kick us off for today. So you've all met my little niece, haven't you? She's very cute. And it's so interesting, like, to watch her and to think about different things that God can speak to me through the way that she is. And it's really funny, because sometimes, like, when you're, like, feeding her with her little bottle of milk, you know, she, like, takes a load of gasps, and then you kind of, like, take it away from her, ready to give it back to her. But somehow she thinks, oh, I'm not going to have it back, and starts crying and getting in this right little state. You're like, it's just here. See, you can have a little bit more. And all is well with the world once again. And it's just so funny to see, because obviously she's doing that because she's a little baby and she doesn't understand. And all she can think about is, I want my milk and it's not in my mouth. Oh, it's the end of the world. And yet, that can be like how we can be with God. You know, it's a very simplistic kind of picture for us, but we can get into that place where we feel like, oh, God's not going to come through for me. I'm in this terrible situation. And I'm not belittling any situations that anyone in this room finds themselves in, because I've had times when it just feels like, oh my goodness, this is the most hardest situation, and I don't know where God is. I don't know what he's doing. and I've got to either pay this bill or something's got to be sorted out here, and I've got no idea where it's going to come from. And the fear that can come in can just grip your whole being. You know, I've had times when I've been so fearful about money, and I'm kind of like looking to God to do something, but I don't see where it's going to come from. And I've just like been in and out of the toilet, sweating, you know, all of that kind of thing. It's just like that fear has so gripped my whole being. But somehow, even though sometimes it doesn't seem to happen very smoothly, God always comes through for me. But I'm like, why does he not just do it in the way that would be so much easier for me to deal with? But it's kind of like, I sometimes feel like God is pushing me to trust him more. He's just pushing me in that way. But I just feel like, you know, God wants us to come into that place of just knowing that we know that he is our provider. And so we're going to rest from that place, even when we're totally up against it and we feel like this is it. I can't see what's going to happen in this situation. So just for a couple of minutes, I just want to ask if one or two people would just maybe share just very, very, very briefly times when even in the last 6 months you've seen God come through for you with provision.
I can relate to what you said about feeling like sweaty and hot. I don't know if I've shared a little bit, but this year Andy and I bought a house, which is pretty crazy. I still can't believe it. But basically in the last couple of weeks before we were due to complete on the purchase, we had to get the mortgage re-offered because the solicitors turned around and said, oh, we need you to get some kind of insurance for this thing. And we were like, what? We don't need that. Oh, this is all happening so last minute. So we thought we already had a mortgage, and they turned around and said, no, you don't. And we had like 2 weeks to go before we had to pay this big bit of tax that you have to pay called stamp duty. So basically, I was really panicking because I thought there's no way this is going to be all completed in time, and then we'll have to pay this massive piece of stamp duty we don't have the money for. So I genuinely thought, you know, we're just going to be totally screwed up here. And it all happened within a space of a couple of hours. This mortgage got reoffered, and then the contracts got exchanged. And it just felt like a complete and utter miracle, because that day I was just unbelievably stressed, thinking, God, where are you in this? You know, it's going to go either way. And I cannot tell you the kind of joy I felt, obviously, when it all went through, and we were so relieved. But then, like, when I kind of had calmed down, all I could do was think about how there was no other way of understanding it, but other than a complete and utter miracle. And that God's hand was upon it the whole time. And again, it was a kind of opportunity to really push into trusting God more. So it's sort of like that refined by fire picture, you know, because when you're in that situation, you think, why am I being so sort of pressed down in this situation? And God's like, look, you can trust me. I'm your father, and I will pull through for you. So, yeah.
That's really great. Yeah, I was just going to say that I know there's a lot of people here who would love to be able to buy a house and just can't see any way of it being possible. And I mean, you need so much money just to get a deposit and get a mortgage. And I mean, I've always thought, you know, there's no way I'm ever going to be able to buy a house, because I just don't have the money, I don't have the savings. And the way that God's provided for us in being able to get a mortgage and be able to, you know, get enough deposit together to pay that. And I mean, it's tight, and we don't really have any money left anymore, but we do have a house, and, you know, we know that God is going to continue to provide for us. So, you know, if there's anyone here who's sort of, you know, struggling with that and feeling like they're never going to be able to buy a house, then, you know, if you want us to pray for you, that would be great. Because God's provided for us, and, you know, a couple of years ago, I would never thought this was possible. So, really, yeah.
Thank you guys for sharing that. That's really encouraging. It'd be really great for Andy and Susie to pray for people in that. But, you know, what I've realized in the last few months is if I've got it settled that God is my provider and that I am his daughter, and that in the way that a good dad, a good earthly dad, is never going to let their child go without, are they? You know, someone who's a good dad who really does love their children, they're never going to let them go without. They'd sacrifice for their children to eat. You know, that my heavenly father, who is much more than this, loves me more than my earthly dad could ever love me, and my earthly dad loves me loads. That if he is my provider and he has all the resources available to him, that means he will provide. So therefore, the way that it's shifted in my thinking, and, you know, I'm still learning and not always getting it right, is that I'm now looking for provision rather than looking for lack. And I think that's one of the things that we need to, like, have shifting in our mindset, is if we have it settled that God is our provider, then instead of looking at the lack, I'm looking for provision. And my experience of provision is that God provides in ways that maybe it's not the way that I'm expecting him to. And so there's something about shifting that, of looking for where the provision is. So it's kind of like, okay, so that's one thing settled. Then you might feel like I've made mistakes with my money that's got me into the situation that I find myself in. You know, I've had times in the past where I've, like, got myself into really bad debt, like really, really bad debt. And, you know, there are lots of reasons for that. And, you know, largely it's my own poor choices in that and lack of wisdom. And it's like coming to a point where even in that situation that I had got myself into, that God, my heavenly father, is still gracious. And even in that situation, that he can shift things to turn it around. The danger is when we've got ourselves into a bad situation with anything, but we're talking about money in this instance, is that we can think, right, I got myself into this mess and I need to get myself out of it. And then we can push God out of the equation. Now, we need to take personal responsibility for it. So I'm not saying that we do nothing, but there is a partnership with God in it and his grace with us that can help us in those situations. So I think, you know, that's really important, that when we're dealing with finance, that we need to know God is our father. He is our provider. He's also the one who gives us wisdom. Therefore, he's going to give me wisdom as to how to deal with my day-to-day life, might be in a difficult situation, how to deal with that, how to have wisdom and to know how to get money or other kinds of provisions in it, and that I'm in a win-win situation. And so what I'm trying to do at this point in my life is to train myself to think in this way, to nail it. God is my provider. He wants good things for me in every area of my life, not just for me, but he wants me to bless others. He wants us as a church to do incredible things. Therefore, I'm starting from that place and I'm looking for his provision. I'm looking for his grace. I'm looking for his wisdom as to how to partner with him. And so, you know, these are just a few little thoughts to throw into the mix, just as we're exploring more of who God is as our father and as our provider. But what I want to do now is I just want us to spend some time praying. You know, it always feels on a Sunday that we never have enough time to really explore things in detail because we only have half an hour, which is a good amount of time, but there's so much further to go. And that's why each of us need to take really responsibility for ourselves for going deeper in God's word and deeper in revelation. But if, you know, you're either in a situation right now where you really need God to come through for provision, or it's kind of something about me talking about this, even though I've talked about it very briefly and not clumsily at times, but there's something about it. The Holy Spirit is just jogging something in you and you're like, there's something that God wants to do. I just want to ask you to stand because I just want to pray. So if that's for you, do you want to just stand right now and just trusting that despite my failing words, the Holy Spirit is speaking to us. And, you know, I just want to say, for, you know, our culture, And I just want to talk about debt for one moment. You know, our culture encourages us to get into debt, which, you know, is really difficult. We all know we live in a really expensive area and sometimes that can be hard. And I, you know, got into really bad debt and God supernaturally provided for me in that I was able to pay off all my debt. And I was in a right mess. Like I had a black mark against my name. That was the mess that I was in. But God supernaturally gave me a large amount of money and I paid off all my debt. And you know, obviously sometimes it is about paying it off every month from our salary, but sometimes God comes through in those ways as well. And so I just want to pray that for people who are in that situation, that we will see his grace poured out in those supernatural ways, as well as the wisdom of budgeting and all of that stuff. But I want to pray that for people as well in it. But yeah, let's just pray. Lord, I just thank you that you are our Heavenly Father, that you love us, that you are our provider, that you're not going to leave us just to get by all alone, but you care for us way more than you care for the sparrows. And Lord, I just pray that for every single person in this room, whether we're standing or not, I just want to pray, Holy Spirit, for a greater revelation around that, Lord, that beyond my words that I shared this morning, that there would be a deep heart revelation to each one of us of really nailing it, that you are our provider, that we can trust you in that way, and that you really do have good things for us, that you really do have the wisdom that we need to know how to go about things, Lord. Your grace does cover our mistakes. And so, Lord, I just pray that for all of us. And Lord, for those who are standing, Lord, you know each individual situation, where it's a desperate need of provision, or whether it's something that you just, there's a desire for a shift in mindset. Holy Spirit, I just ask that you just come and meet each person where they're at. Lord, for those who are in difficult financial situations, Lord, I just pray that you would shift something in that situation. For those who need new jobs, that you provide new jobs, or need a job in the first place, provide those jobs, Lord. I just want to pray that people's debts would be cleared, Lord, that we would be a church that lives debt free, Lord. I pray for supernatural provision to that end. I pray for wisdom to that end. And Lord, I just want to pray peace into hearts where fear is really taking its hold because of the pressures of things that are going on. Lord, would you just take us deeper in revelation in this, Lord. Yeah, and for some of us, I feel like maybe actually the Holy Spirit will prompt us to give some money, maybe to another person in the room, maybe someone outside. But if you're feeling that, just encourage you to go with that. But yeah, feel free to sit down. You know, if you want more prayer into this stuff, I'd be really happy to pray with you about it. But I just want to encourage you to really be reading the Gospels in this season, to seek to get your own revelation of God as Father, because there's so much that he wants to reveal to us. And I just feel that if we could really get hold of it as a church, that it will really begin to change things. And him as provider is a part of that. It's not all of it, but it is a part of that. But it's about getting to that place of really trusting that God really is who he says he is. And you know, sometimes in my own life, God like has, well, you know, I'm sure I get it wrong as well, but you know, sometimes I feel like God tells me to do certain things to put myself in a really difficult position, because he is like using it to teach me more about trusting in him. And I would encourage you to go on those kind of adventures with God as well. Some of you might feel like my life as it stands is enough. Thank you very much. enough of an adventure. But, you know, a year ago, I felt like God told me to give all my clothes away. And apart from the clothes that I was wearing, and I kept some underwear for those who are interested. And I like put all of my clothes into these black bags, and I put it in my boot, thinking about whether or not I was gonna give it away. And I was like really, really scared. I was like, what am I gonna do? Oh. Long story short, I did it. And this passage about how God clothes the lilies of the field became a lot more important to me, because the clothes that I was wearing on that day weren't even my favorite clothes. And, you know, I had various things I had to go to, like a funeral and things that I didn't have appropriate clothing for. And in that time, God taught me so much about trusting him. It's like every time when I needed to go to something which I didn't have the appropriate clothes for, they would be provided somehow. And it was just an amazing time of learning, just in that simple way, most basic thing of clothes. And sorry, I'm going to end now, but I just wanted to share that as well, that, you know, for some of us, God is going to ask us to do certain things, to go on an adventure with him. So we put ourselves in a dangerous place, but actually he's going to teach us about trusting him and coming through for him when we put ourselves in that place. So I encourage you to step out and take some risks and let God teach you stuff as well about this kind of thing or whatever else it may be. Anyway, that's it. Hand back to Dave.
Well done, Vicky.